When God foresaw all this happening, God knew that humans would fall. God knew his son would be sent. God knew his son would die. The son willingly paid for our sin, becoming our redemption, giving us forgiveness of sins. And the Spirit of God is the proof who applies this in our lives.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. Today's message from Pastor Robbie continues our series on the atonement and takes us into a sobering discussion on our imprisonment apart from Christ. Yeah, that's right. The Bible describes us in this way as we are apart from Jesus Christ. We need, in fact, to be freed from our sin, and Christ serves as our redemption. Ahead of us today are the beautiful words of Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That's forgiveness from sin and forgiveness of sin and freedom from sin, all because of God who pours his grace upon us. Let's go to our text now and join up with Pastor Robbie to explain more.
It says that you have, if you're alive in Christ, you have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Just think about that for a second. It starts to hurt your head a little bit, okay? I'm just like, wait. So I've been chosen before I was born in Christ. I was chosen before I was in my mother's womb. I was chosen before my mother was even born. I was chosen before the earth was formed. I was chosen before the foundation of the world. I was chosen before the universe was even, what? Like, whoa, that is too much for my brain to try to register. And yet it's true. It's true, which means when God foresaw all this happening, God knew that humans would fall. God knew his son would be sent. God knew his son would die. The son willingly paid for our sin, becoming our redemption, giving us forgiveness of sins. And the Spirit of God is the proof who applies this in our lives. The Spirit of God becomes our guarantee. He seals us. We're baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have his fruit coming from our lives. We prove that we've gone from death to life. And by the way, time out for a second. Some of us are here right now and we have professed to know God and we have professed to be saved. As you go through this understanding what it means to be alive in Jesus Christ, listen, if we've said that we know Christ, but there's been no fruit from our lives, you have to understand theologically, if you've really been saved in Christ, you've gone from death to life. You've been made a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's got to look like something different than what it was before. If we've just been kind of going through motions, and now I understand we have bad seasons, you know, as believers, generally speaking, there's seasons like a bad month, it can be a bad year. I'm just really concerned we say we have a bad decade. Like that's a long period of time to say there's really been no fruit. Like I'm trying to love you enough right now. I'm asking you to examine where you are truly. There's gotta be some people here right now too that I played the game for 22 years, man. I played it. And I had some kind of belief in God. I did not know God though. I did not know Jesus. Could it be that you've been here and you've been doing your thing for maybe a few decades, whatever it is, but there's never really been any fruit from your life? You have to stop and say, why? Why? And could it be that you've never actually been filled with God's Spirit? You've never actually been saved and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Because when that happens again, not all of life gets figured out, but things must look different and things start to change. When you know your Redeemer, when you know he set you free, man, wow. Like life just starts to look different. We must see the fruit from our lives again coming forth. Now notice this, notice in verse 7, notice the price for our redemption, right? We need a redeemer, but it came at a massive price. Notice, in him we have redemption through his, tell me, blood, through his blood. So there it is again. What this reinforces, Jesus had to die. Why? Only his blood, only his life could pay for ours. His blood had to be shed. Each sermon in the series, I want to attach it to a song. And one of the songs I want you to see right here is Oh, the Blood. beautiful modern hymn type song. Oh, the blood. Look at how these words pop now in light of our atonement series. Oh, the blood, crimson love, price of life's demand. Shameful sin placed on him. The hope, great name for a church, of every man. Now ready? Oh, the blood of Jesus washes me. Oh, the blood of Jesus shed for me. Only the blood. What a sacrifice that saved my life. Yes, the blood, it is my victory. The blood is my victory. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can give me victory over sin. Not works of man, not by some other religion, not by self-esteem. No, no, no. Only the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can save my life and truly give me victory. Got to hear that today. That's why in him we have redemption through his blood. The wonder of redemption in Jesus Christ. And just so we have some time to kind of broaden our view of biblical redemption, I want to put four different verses up one at a time, and then I want to apply it as we go. This is the Bible. The New Testament speaks of redemption. 1 Peter 1 is the first one. Knowing that you were, notice, ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. What this is saying here, if we're alive in Christ, we have been ransomed from a life of futility, a life of meaninglessness, a life of no eternal purpose. Notice, you've been ransomed not with money, not with your investment portfolio, not with your stocks or gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's the payment for us. That like a lamb without blemish or spot. So what's our application here? If this is true application then right here, application is you've been set free from utility, live like it. Again, do we claim to be set free from death and now we have life? We gotta live like it. Why? Because we've been ransomed from futile ways. You can't say you're ransomed from futile ways and live in futility. Then something hasn't happened. We are called to live like the fact that we've been ransomed again from the futility of the world around us. Next verse, I think it's Acts chapter 20. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now watch this, let me learn here. To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. God purchased the church for himself with the blood of his son. Jesus bought the church with his blood. Application right here. Application, love the church that Jesus bought with his blood. All those alive in Christ right now, here. Love the church. Serve the church. Give to the church. Use your gifts in the church. Have compassion on the church. Love the body of Christ. Jesus gave his blood. He purchased it with his blood. Gotta love the church. I love this next one, Revelation chapter 5. This is throne room, heaven, glory, understanding again what eternity will look like. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain. And listen, this is the song they sing. And by your blood, you ransom people for God. Again, from every tribe and language and people and nation. So again, what's our application right here? Application is this, ready? Redemption is our song. Sing like it. Sing like it. Are you redeemed? All of heaven, all of glory, it will be singing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, for you ransomed people will be singing of our redemption. Let's get a head start. Let's get a head start. Let's sing our voices. It drives me crazy, man, walking into a church. Oh, the blood is my victory. I'm like, what is happening right there? What is that? You obviously don't know what you just sang. You obviously, you're like, well, I worked the night shift. Okay, some grace there, right? But if every weekend you're coming in and there you are and you're just kind of like, oh, the blood, can't wait to watch some TV. Like this, I'm just like, no, man. There's a huge theological disconnect from what we're saying we believe and what's actually happening in our hearts. And by the way, before you feel too rebuked by me right now, I want to say, man, I love the way this church sings. I mean, like, it's one of my favorite. I get to sit in the front row basically every week, and I, man, just like the volume of the voices of singing of your redemption. This service in particular, pretty sweet, man, pretty awesome. The energy, the passion, the love, as it should be. Right, again, one of my biggest pet peeves, are going to walk into a church and these wonderful songs of the gospel, and they're just arms folded, bored out of their minds, just wanting to get out and have lunch. I'm like, no, You know, like, are you alive or not? Have you been saved or not? Is Jesus real or not? Is this all means something or not? I mean, evidently, if we come in and we're bored to death with the gospel, Jesus isn't dead. And if he's not dead and we're bored to death, well, you do the math. There's a problem. But again, back to our church. Love you. And I love the way you sing. Listen, it's a fruitfulness of the Spirit within us. And pray for that. You say, I don't really have a good voice. Do you think the Lord cares about that? He loves any song, new song, rising up to him on such wonderful theology. Last verse. By the way, our musical worship team, they're so excited I'm saying this right now because they love just as much as I do when you guys sing as well. Man, if you notice our worship team recently, there are many songs they're singing. They take the earpiece out. They listen to you sing and they just step back and let the voices of the people carry the song. Awesome. That means I love you in sign language. Amen, Mike. Amen. There you go, man. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'm not rocking it out at a concert, all right? It's not what's happening. Okay, here's an awesome verse right here. 1 Corinthians 6, ready? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You just ready? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, the price of his blood. So glorify God in your body. Context for 1 Corinthians 6, explicitly sexual sin. Verse 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. So you're going to say, we're going to say that we're redeemed, yet we're giving our body over to evil, sensual, sexual sin and lust? Holy Spirit's like, you've been bought. You've been purchased with the infinite value of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now glorify your God with your body. With your body. Who's that for? A lot of us. Feel the seriousness. Feel the seriousness of saying you're redeemed. Feel the seriousness of being temples of the Holy Spirit. Feel it. It's good. It's very healthy. God, apply it to our lives and help us to see. Listen, the wonder of redemption. The wonder of redemption takes us to point number two. Oh, the freedom of forgiveness. The freedom of forgiveness. Look at verse 7 again. Okay, watch the result of redemption, okay? So the result of redemption, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses. So notice intensely our context here. So redemption through the blood of Jesus leads to forgiveness of our sins. Some of you are here right now and you are being lied to by Satan. You are saved in Christ and Satan says, man, you stink. You're not worthy. You suck. You're no good. You just give up. You're so hopeless. He's got you in the ditch of despair and he's just pounding you into oblivion. And right now we apply the gospel again. And right now we say, no, wait a second. No, time out. I'm alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. I have redemption. I have redemption through his blood. I've been washed every single sin, past, present, and future. My sins, I have forgiveness of trespasses. Therefore, here's what I know to be true. In the Lord Jesus Christ, man, there's no guilt in life and no fear in death. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I know I am absolutely forgiven and clean. My slate has been entirely wiped clean. I have been given a fresh start and no one will ever take this from me. I am alive in Jesus Christ. I am adopted. I am saved by him and I will be that way forever. Clap for that. It's good. Listen, right now, wherever you are right now, you've been lied to. If you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, you take that truth and you throw it in the face of the evil one and he will have to flee because he cannot stand the light and the truth of the gospel. And the truth is, again, in Christ, I am perfect standing. I am innocent. I am justified. The Father has taken his gavel. He has slammed it down on the judge desk and he says, Robbie, you are innocent, not because of you, because of my son in you. And therefore, when I declare you innocent, you will never, ever, ever be condemned as guilty again because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Take that truth, receive it, and apply it. You want to keep clapping? Keep clapping. Amen. Love a church that claps. So much better than clapping for the Leafs. So much better. No offense to the Leafs. I'm cheering for the Leafs too, and the Raptors, cheering for them. But the gospel, so much better. You see that? And do you believe that today? Again, the atonement, the atonement. You are 100% washed and cleansed and forgiven. No penalty, no condemnation, all because of what Christ has done. You know, before we were saved, we had the guillotine of death hanging over our heads because of our sin. That's amazing. You might know this about my story, but again, for 22 years, I lived my own life, man. Like, I believed in God. It's so strange. Like, I was raised in a God-fearing home. I believed in God, but I didn't know him. And I simply loved myself more. And so therefore, I didn't follow him and I didn't do anything about it. But it's so interesting because I went through life and I believed enough. This didn't happen a lot, but at times, I believed Jesus would return. And I was afraid that if he shows up now, he's going to return. And I know I don't know him, so I'm dead. That's so strange. That's how wicked my heart was. That's how hard my heart was. Like, again, I didn't think about this a lot. Maybe like once a year, though, I'd be like, yeah, I really do this Jesus guy. I think he's real. And he's going to return one day, and I'm dead. And yet, because my heart was so hard, and I love myself so much, I chose myself over it. And then by God's grace, when I was 22, man, he broke me. He bottomed me out in life. And he allowed me to see only in Christ alone is there self. Only in Christ alone will you find purpose. Only in Christ alone. And when that happens, then all of a sudden the guillotine's never removed. And the statement of innocence upon you, never to be the same again. And here we are together celebrating the forgiveness that is found in our Redeemer. You know, some churches teach that salvation is earned. And really, that's a false gospel. So every day what happens, if you think salvation is earned, every day you're trying to do enough to please God. You imagine walking around with the guilt of such teaching? Oh, I haven't done enough, I haven't done enough. Man, I'll tell you, the pain of penance. The pain of penance. When is penance enough? When is enough penance enough? It's never enough because it requires perfection. So let the word of God trump the false gospels of man. And the word of God says right now, it says, listen, Christ died for you every single sin. He did it. So you don't have to. So Christ is your Redeemer that you may be forgiven of all sin once and for all. And every chain is broken. You are free to go in Christ. Again, another hymn that's meant so much. This is And Can It Be. This beautiful verse. I think Charles Wesley wrote this, I think. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. It's so true, eh? It's our world right there. In prison cell of sin. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. Anyone who's been alive in Jesus Christ in some form, this is your story. I woke the dungeon, flamed with light. So good. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Everyone before Christ, you're in that prison cell of darkness. Christ comes in and goes wham with light, and you see the light, and your chains fall at the same time, and you throw the shackles to the ground, and you stand up, and you're renewed and revived, and you're reconciled to God, and you have a new creation, and you rise up, and you walk with Christ because he's caused you to be free, and now you follow him. My Redeemer, my Redeemer, my Redeemer who I serve and love. The heart of the gospel of those truly and sincerely forgiven. Man, the blessing of the gospel, the wonder of redemption, the freedom of forgiveness. And thirdly and finally this, the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. Look at the end of verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses, ready? According to the riches of his grace. And look at verse 8. Which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Wow, see that phrase in verse 7, according to, that's very important. So our redemption and forgiveness in Christ is according to what? The riches of his grace. That phrase according to is very important because it does not mean a portion of God's grace. According to the riches of God's grace means, but it's in proportionate. It's proportionate to God's grace. So do you think God has a little bit of grace or a lot of grace? Do you think God is stingy with grace or is he infinitely generous in grace? Do you think God is poor in grace or is he infinitely wealthy in grace? God is infinitely, infinitely wealthy in grace. Why is this so important to us? Because here's what it means. It means no sin is too great for the blood of Jesus Christ and his grace. No sin's too bad. Some of you are here right now, Satan's been lying again. Satan's like, man, you're so terrible, you'll never be forgiven. Those people got baptized, sure, but they're not as bad as you. Your sin, too awful, can't be done. God's not that kind. Oh yeah? You try holding up your sin in light of God's infinite love shed through his son in the cross by his grace. You hold up your sin, and I'm not diminishing the seriousness of your sin. I'm just saying you take your sin compared to God's grace and your sin gets obliterated in a heartbeat. The power of the blood, the value of the blood, the wealth of God's grace when held to your sin and mine, your sin just gets evaporated, obliterated, paid for by Christ on the cross. It's Passion Week, so you love the stories of Passion. One of my favorite stories of Passion Week is the thief on the cross. Luke's gospel has such a beautiful account of it, and the thief on the cross, I've said this before, but it's kind of remarkable. The thief on the cross, if you're ever going to be crucified, right, the chance to be crucified beside the Savior of the world, it's kind of right place at the right time. In some very strange way. And there he is. And the one criminal's railing on Jesus' other side, railing against Jesus. And this guy has a moment of faith, a moment of whatever happens, his eyes are opened. And he looks over in the center and the text says, he calls Jesus by name. He says, we deserve to die. Our sins are right. We have sinned. The law says we should die. He looks over and he says, Jesus, will you remember me today as you come into your kingdom? I mean, what a moment. And then Jesus standing there, they're literally both being crucified. One unjustly, one justly. And Jesus looks at him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. What happens to the sin of that criminal on a cross, dying again according to the law of the day, as he should? His sin in that moment is washed and obliterated by the love and the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, who happens to be dying beside him. Incredible, amazing, the love of Jesus Christ. And that offer still stands today because Jesus Christ has not yet returned. Jesus Christ, again, died for you, was raised from the dead, and he offers full forgiveness for all those who believe in him by faith even now. Listen, according to the riches of his grace. You know what many of us do? Many of us pour over earthly riches. We pour over our income statements, our investments. We study the stock market. We pour over our statements online. We look at our return rates. We measure our value. We're constantly looking at our net worth. We pour over all these earthly riches. We're really good at it, in fact. A lot of us are really good at that. We think about it all the time. Question, when's the last time you poured over the riches found in Jesus Christ? You know that phrase, the riches of his grace, is used a couple other times in Ephesians. I want us to look at one. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 18. Ephesians 1, verse 18. Look at this. Here's such a wonderful prayer for us right now. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is good. Look at that. Having the eyes of your hearts and light. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Like, that's where that comes from, eh? That song, that's so good. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. See what? See what? Notice, look here. Look, see what? See, to know what is the hope, great name for a church, the hope to which he has called you. Notice, see what? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see the riches of your grace. I want to know the measurable greatness of your power. I want to have the eyes of my heart enlightened. I want to see Christ. I want to see his grace. I want to see the riches that he has, that he's given to me, again, by his generosity and love. Oh, the riches of his grace. Indeed, Lord, open the eyes of my... You want to sing that, right? Well, you got to wait, okay? It's okay. In close, you know, Jesus, the wonder of our redemption, the freedom of our forgiveness, the riches of his grace. There's a story told of a gentleman visiting a slave market who was deeply touched by the mental agony of a certain slave girl who had been delicately reared. He feared that she should fall into the hands of a rough master, someone who would treat her so harshly So the gentleman inquired her price, found it out, paid it to the slave trader, and then took the bill and placed the bill of sale in her own hands, telling her that she was free and that she could now go home. The slave girl did not realize at first what had just happened, but then when she did, she came running after her redeemer and she cried out, "He has redeemed me. He has redeemed me. Will you let me be your servant?" Now think, how much more should we serve him who has redeemed us from sin and hell and death? He has redeemed me. He has redeemed me. Will you let me be your servant? That is at the heart of the Christian life and why we give our lives to Jesus Christ, because he is our redeemer. There's no one else who can do this for us. It's only in Christ alone, in him, in Christ alone, no one else. That's where life is lived. So Holy Spirit of God, help us to see the value and run after you. Oh Lord, that I may be your servant with the life that you have redeemed again by your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. I specifically speak to those here today who have not been saved in Jesus. I pray you know who you are immediately. Like immediately, the Holy Spirit is speaking directly to you. You can join me right now. You can pray this prayer. You can say, "Jesus Christ, I understand I have sinned. I have sinned against you, but I also believe that you are the one to rescue me from my sin. You are my redeemer. You are the one to purchase me out of my slavery to sin. So therefore, Jesus, I turn from sin and by faith, not by earning it, not by working harder, but by faith in what you did for me, I ask you, save me, make me new, cause me to become a new creation that I might know the wonders of eternal life and I am fully secure in heavenly glory." You pray that prayer right now. You pray that with sincerity and you can know that you went from death to life, that you are now adopted as a son and daughter of God Almighty. Run to your Redeemer. No other religion, no other person, no other formula, no other works of the world. It's in Christ alone. And then you can sin, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. That is where life is meant to be lived. And I pray, Lord, I pray that many here today are choosing by faith in the midst of a dark world to know the light of Jesus. Their dungeon cell is infused with light, never to be the same again.
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario. Our postal code is L6L6X9. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.